Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Trinity Church Hunley. My name is Carl. I'm the senior pastor here. Merry Christmas to all of you. Happy Christmas. I hope you've already had a terrific morning this morning. This is that time of the year that many of us think of as wonderful, as fun, as joyful, as all those sort of things. And yet, I want to suggest to you, we do some funny things to celebrate this time of the year, don't we? We wear like Christmas jumpers in summer. We send out Christmas cards that depict Northern Hemisphere winters with snowy cottages and crackling fires and those sorts of things. It's a fun time of the year, but it's also the time of the year where some of us might feel that we get overly sentimental, especially with those Christmas cards with flying reindeer and snowy villages and those sorts of things. And what is it with the Christmas donkeys? I've got a photo of a Christmas donkey on the screen behind me. I know donkeys are cute, especially when they are wearing a Christmas hat like this. But seriously, what do donkeys have to do with the Christmas story? I know Mary supposedly comes riding into Bethlehem on a donkey, but it's not actually in the Bible. I think sometimes some of us get a little sick of Christmas like this. And the older you get, the faster Christmas comes around as well. It seems like again and again and again that we are singing Mariah Carey's song. And even I want to suggest when you dig past the commercial aspects of Christmas, it feels like so much of the focus is not so much about God being with us, with his people, but more about wise men and startled shepherds and sold out guest rooms. I wonder if you kind of feel that way. Most of us here would know the story of Christmas really, really well. And I think there's a bit of a danger that comes with that. That is that familiarity breeds contempt. The danger is, I think, that we might lose the joy of remembering that Christmas is the start of God's great victory. His victory for us. His victory against evil and against the devil. Christmas, I want to suggest this morning, is not just a sentimental story. I want you to see that it is the start of God's great cosmic victory. And so today, this Christmas day, I want to do something with you a little different. I want to give you a different perspective of Christmas. And I want us to zoom out and I want us to see the big picture of Christmas. Now, normally at this time of the year, we zoom right in and we look at what happens in a stable in Bethlehem. But this year, I want you to see the nativity scene from a different perspective. In fact, I want us to marvel at the nativity as it is seen from heaven. And it's a tremendous sight. If you love stories of big battles, if you love stories of good versus evil, if you like stories of a triumphant king fighting an evil dragon, then this is your sort of Christmas story. And it's actually in the Bible. You might never have seen this before. So this morning, I'd love you to listen in closely as we see the nativity from the perspective of heaven. I've asked Ellie if she'll come and read to us our first passage this morning. We're going to be looking at Revelation chapter 12. It's not your traditional Christmas passage. Revelation chapter 12. If you'd like to look it up in your black Bibles, it's on page 1925. And Ellie is going to read to us the first six verses of chapter 12.
A great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days.
Right, did you follow along as Ellie was reading? It is a marvelous story, isn't it? It's a big story. We read here in verse 1 of chapter 12, if you want to have a look at it in your Bible, we read here what John, the author of this passage, sees. And he sees a great sign in heaven. In other words, John is seeing something, a vision, a picture that has meaning. Let me give you an example of this. I've got a sign on the screen behind me. You can see this sign, and although there are no words, you know that this sign comes with meaning. This is a road sign. We all know what it means. Bikes are to go that way, right? John sees a sign in heaven. He sees a vision or a picture, and it comes with meaning. Did you see what he saw? He sees a woman clothed with sun, with the moon at her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. This woman is glorious and radiant and regal. Who do you think the woman is? There's a clue, because the woman is pregnant. Not just a few weeks long, but that this woman is about to give birth. In verse 2, we see she's crying out in pain. She is in labor because the baby is coming. Now come down in the passage to verse 5 with me. Here the woman gives birth and we meet the baby. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. What's a scepter? Do you know what a scepter is? I've got a photo of an ancient king from Bulgaria. Here's one on the screen behind me. A scepter is really like a stick made out of metal, a rod or a staff or a wand, and it's held by a ruling monarch, and it signifies their sovereignty, their power. Do you know in the Bible who holds an iron scepter or an iron rod? Well, come with me to Psalm 2. I've got the words on the screen behind me, I think. Psalm 2, verse 7, it says this: I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron, a scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Here in Psalm 2, we see that the one who will break the nations with an iron rod is God's king. It is God's son. In other words, this is the person Jesus. And that means here, back in Revelation 12, the bit that Ellie read to us, we see here a glorious, radiant, regal woman giving birth to Jesus. And I want to suggest to you, this is the nativity scene as it looks like from heaven. In Revelation 12, we don't get a blow-by-blow account of Jesus' birth. You can go to Luke's gospel or Matthew's gospel to read about that. But what we do get here is the meaning of Jesus' birth and his life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension. And we get it all wrapped up in one grand vision that John is seeing. Did you notice in this vision there's not a single donkey in sight? But there is a dragon. You see that? Let me read to you from verse 3 of Revelation 12. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. I should say, this sign is supposed to be scary. John is seeing here a red dragon. Did you know there were dragons in the Bible? Do you know that? Here he sees one. Here is a great red dragon. And it looks like and sounds like something we'd read in a J.K. Rowling book, doesn't it? Because the dragon has got 7 heads and 10 horns on its head and 7 crowns and all this kind of stuff. And what is it saying to us? Well, it's saying to us that this dragon is powerful. This dragon is a true monster. His tail sweeps from the sky a third of the stars. What do you think that means? Some people suggest that this depicts the suffering of Christians throughout the ages who are persecuted, even killed for their faith. And now look what happens with me. Halfway through verse 4, the dragon stands before the woman so that it might devour the child as soon as it is born. That's a horrible picture, isn't it? A dragon about to devour a newborn baby. And yet look what it says in verse 5. The child is snatched up to God and to his throne. And the woman escapes to the wilderness, to a place prepared by God where she is taken care of. Can you see here, this is the Christmas story, but it's the story told from the perspective of heaven. This is the birth of Jesus, God's King. This is about God coming into the world, and I want you to see here the cosmic battle that accompanies the birth of Jesus. This version of the nativity scene that we're reading about here, it doesn't replace what happens in Bethlehem. It doesn't replace that story, but it does pull back the curtain, so to speak, and let us see what the birth means in the spiritual realm. But we live in a society that is dominated by the material world, don't we? And here we see and we read about the supernatural side of Christmas. It's a battle between good and evil. And here's the question, does the dragon win? Does evil win? Remember, this is a horrendously scary, powerful, it's a seven-headed dragon. And it's fighting, not a knight in shining armor, but a baby who's just been born and a woman who has just given birth. Surely a brand new baby is no match for a seven-headed dragon. And you look what happens. Evil does not triumph. The war might not have ended, but the battle here is decisively won. The baby is saved. It's like the baby's untouchable. See, God's purpose in sending Jesus into the world, it cannot be thwarted. And Satan's plan to devour the baby at birth is foiled. Now this Christmas, I really want you to see God conquers evil. And I want you to see that God protects his people. Come back to me with those sentimental thoughts about Christmas, with flying reindeer and snowy cottages and Christmas donkeys. If you're over that sort of Christmas, if that doesn't sit well with you, I hope you're encouraged by this perspective. This perspective, it still includes the birth of baby Jesus, but it shows us the epic battle that is played out in the heavenly realms, a battle in the spiritual world. Good versus evil, God versus the devil. On Christmas Day, we see that first battle between Jesus and Satan. And victory goes to God. Later on this morning, I want to show you how Jesus wins the entire war. But for now, do you realize that a spiritual battle is raging all around us? If you're getting to the end of the year and you're feeling a little bit weary, a little bit worn down, maybe you're feeling defeated at some of the things that have happened this year, maybe part of what you're experiencing is spiritual. See, I want to suggest we live in a battlefield. A spiritual battle is raging all around us. If that's true, no wonder you're feeling a little tired at this time of the year. If that's you, here's the encouragement for you. Here's what I want you to hold on to. God wins. Do you see that in this story? God wins. The baby is snatched up to God and to his throne, and the woman is protected. I haven't got time to go into exactly why this is, but most scholars suggest that the woman in this story represents not just Mary, but actually the entire people of God. The entire people of God. And look at verse 6 and see then what happens to the woman, what happens to the people of God. She flees to a place prepared for her by God. God cares for her there. God protects her. God provides a place for her. I want to suggest to you the battle is real. The dragon is real. But this passage shows us that God cares for his people. And so we can have courage here, knowing that the victory belongs to God. We're going to sing again another song now, a song that speaks about what Christmas is all about. This song says these words. It says, "Sing, all you people, the Lord Almighty reigns." We see that in this passage. We see the reign and the rule of God. "Sing, every creature of God, come bless his name, for he is good." That's what this passage is about. He is good, good versus evil. He was born to conquer the grave, the light of the world, the reason for Christmas Day. This morning, I want you to remember, he reigns. And he's good. And so let us sing together those things. When I was a kid, I used to love reading this series of stories about a fictional World War I pilot. I think I've got a photo of this cover of one of these books on the screen behind me. This guy was an ace, which meant that every battle he went into in the air, he came out on top. Now, sure, sometimes things went wrong, but But ultimately, there was never any doubt about what was going to happen. I mean, at the end of the day, this was World War One, and we know how the story ends. We know how World War One ends. And I want to suggest we see a similar sort of thing in Revelation. In my first talk this morning, we saw how the birth of Jesus looked from the perspective of heaven. We saw a spiritual battle between good and evil, between God and Satan. And we saw God triumph. Jesus was snatched up to the throne, and the woman, God's people, are protected. And yet, we see in this passage, it's not the end of the war. I've asked Fergus if he'd come up and keep reading. He's going to read to us verses 7 to 12 of Revelation chapter 12. You can follow along on the screen or in your Bibles on 1926, I think.
Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, who leads the world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, "Now come the salvation, and the power, and the kingdom of God, and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down. They triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens and you who dwell in them. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short."
Thanks, Gus. Thanks for reading. So we pick up the story now in verse 7, and we see here a great war has broken out. Now, we're not told what weapons are used in this war, but it looks like to me that it would have been a tremendous war, great power unleashed in the heavens. Sounds like it might have been a ferocious battle. And yet the outcome is clear. We're told, aren't we, that the dragon is not strong enough and is hurled down out of the heavens to the earth below. And as good as that sounds, there's a sting in that, isn't there? Because the earth down below is where we live. Victory in heaven has been secured, but the defeated enemy now rages on earth. Listen to the warning at the end of verse 12. You see that? "Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short." If you've ever doubted the reality of the spiritual battle in the world around us, I'd love you to take these words seriously. He's been beaten, but he's still active in the earthly sphere. The Apostle Peter puts it this way: "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." There is a sting in these words and a warning to us. But that is not the big thing. That's not like the newspaper-worthy headline in this passage. The really big story, the really big headline in Revelation 12 is what verses 10 and 11 say. These verses, I think, are at the core of what it means to believe in Jesus, the core of the Christian faith and the core of the Christian hope. Let me read to you from verse 10. It says this: "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, 'Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been hurled down.'" Here's the great announcement in this passage. The baby born earlier in the passage comes with salvation and with power and with kingly authority. His coming ends the work of the devil and the dragon as our accuser. Do you see that? He's still active, but he's lost his power to accuse. I want you to imagine for me, just in your minds, imagine a heavenly courtroom scene. In that scene, God sits as the judge And each one of us will one day be in that courtroom in judgment. The dragon, the devil, is described here as our accuser. In the courtroom, he brings our accusations, our sins before God. As I think about this, I imagine myself there, and I imagine the devil saying, "Aha, here's Carl. He did this. He thought that. He loved this thing much more than you, God." See, that's the accuser's job, to accuse us and to present our guilt before God. And here's the great joy in this passage. When we get to that heavenly courtroom, the accuser won't be there. He's been hurled down. He's been defeated. His power has been taken away from him. How has that happened? How's the dragon been defeated? Remember, it's a powerful dragon, 7 heads and 10 horns on its head. How is it defeated? Look at verse 11. It's a great verse. They, that is the saints, that's us, have triumphed over him. How do they triumph over him? By the blood of the Lamb. Many of us have done Advent readings in the time up until Christmas. You might remember reading in one of those Advent readings what John the Baptist said when he first saw Jesus. Do you remember what he said? "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." See, John the Baptist knew who Jesus was. He knew that he would triumph over our accuser by taking away the power of sin. He did that by dying a death on a cross, spilling his blood. He took the penalty that we deserved and in so doing disarmed the accuser. That is the defeat of the dragon. Now, true, that doesn't mean the final end of our suffering or of sin in the world. Remember Peter's warning, the devil is like a prowling lion roaring. But I want you to see that his ability to condemn has been taken away. That rips away the power of the accuser. Each sin has been paid in full by the blood of the Lamb, which leaves the dragon with nothing to say. I want you to see, Jesus defeats the dragon not with brute force, but by shedding his blood. And in doing so, he silences the accuser and he secures our salvation. That is how the war is won. At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And we see in this vision that John has how that works out. We see that his birth leads to the cross. The cross leads to the shedding of his blood, and his blood secures his victory over the dragon. Fitting, isn't it, that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was born into a place for animals. He is, after all, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I reckon there are a few of us here today, this is just my guess, who are a bit like me. You've had enough of cute donkeys wearing Christmas hats. We've had enough of that sort of Christmas. If that's you, if you're a bit over that side to Christmas, I hope you can be encouraged by what we've seen here today in Revelation 12. The battle has been won. In fact, the war has been won. Victory is certain. The dragon has been defeated. The accuser has been silenced, and it's all been done by the blood of the Lamb. It's been done through the forgiveness of sins. The Lamb has won. Let me ask you, do you believe that this morning? Do you trust in that? Is that how you know God, how you know Jesus? It's how I know him, and so that is why I want to rejoice in his promised salvation. In just a moment, we're going to sing again together. We're going to sing another terrific Christmas carol called Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Before I sing, I want as many of the kids as possible to take a red or white streamer that Peter is going to pass around to the kids now. One of the ways in which we celebrate great victories in the world is through something called a ticket tape parade. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these before. I've got a black and white photo of one of them on the screen behind me. This Christmas, I really want you to remember the victory that Jesus has secured for us. And so as we sing this next song, when we get to this line, because you have to listen up, because this is when you throw your streamer into the air, when we sing the line, "Joy in the triumph of the skies," with the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Can you throw your streamer up into the air for me? It's best if you hold one of the ends of the streamer. Don't just throw it as a ball up into the air. Hold the end of it, and then you toss the rest of it, and it will make lovely red and white streamers go up into the air. As we get ready to sing, I'm going to pray for us, and I'd love you to throw your streamer into the air at the right time. Let me pray. Father God, we give you thanks this Christmas that you have defeated the dragon, that our accuser has been hurled down, that the great cosmic triumph has been won through the blood of the Lamb. We ask that you would help us to celebrate that truth with great joy this Christmas. Amen.